broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number four here for WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. There's a nice crowd starting to trickle in here at Fenway Park, and as we noted earlier, almost all Red Sox jerseys.
Yeah, I don't know how well the old Royals fan base travels.
Or maybe they gave up. They were like, first two didn't go well. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go somewhere else tonight.
Like?
Stay in my hotel room.
Sure.
On order
a
takeout.
Night like this? Come on.
Get some wings or something. So, yeah, a lot of Red Sox fans excited.
Oh, look at
here.
A Roman Empire sign from that guy. Handmade sign walking in. Love to see that. There it is. Look at that. 8 years, $130 million today, buddy. There we go. Look at this. Lifelike.
That's a very good sign. Very neat. Structured.
Tremendously locked in. Love to see it. Well done.
And then he had a
even had
Twitter
his own,
handle.
He had his
Sox
own,
signs?
Yeah.
Fancy.
I guess he's a thing. Good for him.
You've really come. I was impressed with the sign. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's 5 o'clock. You're getting in your car heading home. And for us here at WEEI Afternoons, it's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
I had a question about the drive. Do most people still drive home from work around 5 o'clock?
It doesn't seem so.
No.
We've had a couple of early afternoon exits for like 4 o'clock West Coast games.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck in worse traffic at 3:30 than I am at 6:30.
Yeah, it feels like the workday is shifted earlier in the day. People leave their house earlier in the morning trying to beat the traditional rush hour traffic and then leave work earlier. Anyway, it's 5 o'clock.
Or they just don't go. That seems to also be a thing.
That's all. We're in a remote world, although more and more people are being asked back into the office. And you know, a lot of people just quit.
What?
They did?
Like, no, I'm not going back.
No, I'm not going back. I'm quitting.
You can't make me go to the back.
I'm not going to take it.
Not anymore.
Must be nice.
Yeah, no, it must be nice. I'll tell you what was nice.
What?
See that performance by Crochet last night?
Oh, what a segue. Unbelievable.
So I was a little worried because you know me. I tend to be a little cynical, pessimistic, and this whole weird extra days off for Crochet going into the break, out of the break, this weekend, that weekend. It's like, does this guy always get like 6 or 7 days off?
I mean, he did pass last night. He needed 4 2/3 innings.
He made it.
To reach his innings maximum on a season. He has now gone well past that with no cap set anytime soon. But I think Alex Cora has done a nice job. Or the consortium, Andy, of the Brain Trust has done a good job managing him thus far.
And we asked Alex Cora, when we spoke with him earlier today here at Fenway Park, about that management of Crochet, what we've seen and what we're going to see moving forward.
So the management program that you guys are deploying for Garrett Crochet seems to really be paying off. A couple extra days here or there as well. How difficult is that? Because obviously you'd want to run the beast out there as often as possible. And how's the dialogue between management, team, and the player?
Yeah, obviously we want him out there every 5 days, and that's probably the best way of doing it. But at the same time, understanding that this is his first full season as a starter, and you know we haven't kind of like slowed him down from the get-go. You know, we used to be very careful the first months of the season with our starters and then let him go in May. This year, we were very aggressive. Understanding that the schedule was going to slow down at one point, we were going to get a lot of off days throughout the month. I think it's 3 or 4 every Thursday. So we plan accordingly. Everybody remembers the Mets start. You know, we limit him to 80, 85 pitches. But then after that, we gave him the green light to go 100, 110, 115. He decided not to pitch in the All-Star game, which is awesome. And then we push him back 2 days, right? In the Chicago series, we push him back 2 for the next one, and we skip 1, and now he's a full go. And that's very important for us because we do believe there's unfinished business, right? And we need him to be healthy and fresh for the stretch run to do the cool things that we do in September and hopefully October. And he's in a great place right now.
And it's working. He is your pig, your beast, your horse, whatever you want to call him, whatever animal is your choice that day. You look back at sort of the recent outings, 6-2 win last night. He goes 7 inning pitched, 8 Ks, 2 earned runs. You look back before that, 4-2 win, 10 Ks, 2 home runs allowed, unfortunately, but got the win 4-2. 6-1 win before that, he went 6 innings, 1 earned run. Before that, he goes 9, 0 earned runs. Yeah, in my little recent games list here, no more than 2 earned runs, which some of that is with the extra rest mixed in. But I will be interested to see, because no disrespect, Mr. Cora, we love you, mean it. You've lied to us before.
Yeah.
You even referenced one of those lies in your answer.
You guys kept your mouth shut during that.
I was close.
And I appreciate that, because I could hear both of you screaming in your ear, in your own minds. Like, hey, you lied to me on that Mets game.
I was close. Yes, we remember it, because you lied to us right to our faces.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see if this plays out where they just use the Thursdays, just use the off days to manage Crochet, because...
But why not do it?
But I don't want to miss more starts. And I guess my big point here, and this will tie into the next clip and the next question I asked him about Cooper Criswell, and we're going to talk about how important that game was last Friday night here
at Fenway Park.
And
there was no one that had more confidence in him than you.
Nope, no one who had more doubt. And if that's such a big game for you, Alex Cora, there would have been a temptation to put Crochet on the mound. Because I know you think your best chance to win big games is with Garrett Crochet on the mound. And they didn't do that. So I still have this hesitation, like, not that he's dealing with anything, but that there's just some thing else to sniff out there with Garrett Crochet and what he is. The velocity was fine last night. It was up. The performance was fine. Like, there's nothing to question there. But that leads us into last Friday night, Fenway Park, as Fitzy noted, I was not a happy camper.
Despondent would be an appropriate one.
Yeah. Out of the playoffs by Monday.
Out of the playoffs by Monday.
Oh, that's right.
Into the World Series by Wednesday.
Lest we forget.
That's how I work around here. Life comes at you fast. But Cooper Criswell, who I was projecting to have pitched 2 innings because he had averaged that in his previous 3 appearances for the Boston Red Sox, he went 7 innings. He gave them more than you could probably ever ask for in that situation. Coming out of the trade deadline.
You're allowed to use
that. Yeah, coming out of the trade deadline. And what did he get for his services? Well, he got sent back down. But yeah, Alex Cora recaps the importance of that Criswell start last Friday night. So I got to be honest with you. We were here on Friday, post-trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I was cranky. I bet.
I was going to the game
that night. And I was, let's just say, dubious. Cooper Criswell's on the mound, not Crochet. Mm-hmm. How important was that game? I'm a believer in butterfly effect. That was he pitched maybe the game of his career. You guys win in an electric environment. Felt like it jump-started the rest of the weekend.
Yes. What Coop did, I was talking to a buddy of mine today, man, you guys send down Coop, and like, that's how it works. But if we, you know, pull this off and we win the division and we do cool things in October, we're going to look back at Cooper Criswell and say, that's when he started.
You know,
he set the tempo for the rest of the weekend. The guys have maintained the momentum. I don't know. We're playing a brand new baseball we haven't played here in a while. You know, that inning on Sunday against Framber, running the bases, bunting, hitting the ball on the ground, and the contact play, that was one of those innings that in spring training you envision. At one point, we're going to do all the little things, right? And it doesn't happen. And we did. And we're playing a good baseball team right now with the Royals. We did our job the first 2. Michael, he's a tough customer. He's one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. So go out there and try to sweep him. And then, you know, go to San Diego. I think it's Nick, actually, on Friday. Oh, Nick Pivetta. Nice. So that's going to be electric. Yeah, Skippy's going to be ready for us. And we're going to be ready for him. And it should be a fun weekend.
I did not know that Nick Pivetta's nickname was Skippy.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Where did the hell does a name like Skippy come from for Nick Pivetta?
I thought I was the guy on the outside looking into the joke that everybody knew.
It either better be Skippy, that he's got this buoyant personality and he's like, Skippy, wee, or that he loves peanut butter.
I don't think it's the personality, because if you remember, he bitched quite a bit when he went to the bullpen a couple years ago. He did not come off as a Skippy. Maybe he calls him
Skippy.
Maybe he calls him Skip.
Maybe he's a manager in training. No, I'm betting on peanut butter.
No, and he hates, you know, he hates that nickname.
So maybe that was like a retort to a preemptive strike against Pivetta.
This was not a documented nickname. A quick search along the internets. Nobody has called him Skippy publicly before.
Okay, so see, this is where I should go with my instinct and trust myself and say, wait a minute, did you say Skippy?
Yes, yeah.
Because I thought I just didn't know. You know, you don't want to, like, everybody knows the nickname. Everybody knows the joke and you don't want to bring it up. Anyway. So Nick Pivetta, they'll face potentially in San Diego. Skippy Pivetta out there. Xander Bogaerts, I saw him go deep last
week. I hate it.
Oh, I would not want, as a grown man who's a major league pitcher who's pretty good, to be called Skippy.
Good morning, Skippy.
It sounds like Puppy, Longstocking?
Pippy.
Pippy Longstocking. I do not want to be called Skippy. Anyway, Cooper Criswell gave you the game of his life, although Dan Ball says it wasn't the game of his
life. Yeah. Put some respect on his name.
It was the game of his life.
I would say that was the game of his life, considering the surroundings. Like, I'm sure I comped it earlier to potentially being the Nate Eovaldi game of this particular season, because everyone credits the Red Sox being able to hold on and turn that World Series around on the 6 2/3 innings that he pitched. It was in defeat, but it was still pretty spectacular. That's the start of Criswell's life. Let's not mince words, for sure.
And it may be the start in the game of the season when we look back on it, just given I know we gave some credit to Seydon Rafaela with the walk-off, and it's been mentioned a few times, but think about what happens if it goes according to your plan and he only goes two innings and he gets booed off the mound and your team gets booed off the field.
You're done.
I'd imagine
you're out of the playoffs by Monday.
You're at least losing that series, if not getting swept, because then you got Framber on Saturday in a much more confident spot.
Your bullpen's toast.
Exactly. And then you get into a series against a very good Kansas City team. So what we're looking at right now, that 7-game winning streak, is nowhere near it. So probably the game of the season to this point, given where the momentum was sitting going into Friday.
I will say in that answer, too, we don't often, I think, say, like, cold-hearted Alex Cora. Like, he doesn't have that to him. Bill Belichick has that to him. There was a little cold-hearted Alex Cora. Like, his friend was like, that was a great game, and you sent him down. Yeah, that's how it works. Oh, okay, you don't have to be
well,
mean.
Sorry about that.
I thought maybe he'd get a second start.
You know what you can do is you can call him back up again if you happen to need him, because injuries happen, as we've seen also. And you may need 5, 6, and 7 starters. By the way, I took a little walk a few minutes ago before we got the drive going. We saw Giolito throwing a little pen sesh out there. Man, that ball was popping.
Well, he is a major leaguer, and he's pretty good. His ERA. You know, tell him what his ERA since June 10th is?
Very good.
2.03, I believe. 2.03.
No, it's just a difference when you're yay close, me to you distance, and all of a sudden you watch 95 come zipping in.
Yeah.
How the hell do you do? Let alone turn on 104 Mason Miller.
Oh, this is a side note from the drive. We'll get back to that in a second. But I did tell Dan Ball, when I was in the park on Friday night, they put up a Bob Stanley highlight reel, because Bob Stanley was in somebody's luxury booth, and they were showing highlights of him pitching. Yeah, maybe the guns don't lie, because Bob Stanley, his ball throw goes like a little leaguer's. Like, it had like an arc to it.
It had a little lope to it. Yeah.
You know how it's a breaking ball? No, that's just gravity. It's going so slow that the earth is pulling it down toward the earth. And you compare that to what you see from even the bad guys, Hicks. Hicks is coming in throwing gas. He doesn't know where it's going, but it is going like a laser toward the catcher.
Jordan Hicks throws what we sometimes have at nighttime watching the games, uncontrollable gas.
Yes, absolutely. So I do believe relievers actually throw significantly harder than they did back in Bob Stanley's heyday, when he was a key member of a very good baseball team, a very, very good baseball team. We also need to note that we asked Alex Cora. We're not going to play the audio. We did ask him about the Roman Anthony reports, but because it wasn't apparently official, he didn't offer much up, but he did have a big smile on his face while he's talking about it, and I think that gives you every indication, not to mention the trust we have in Jeff Passan and others, that when you tell us that Roman Anthony signed an 8-year, $130 million contract extension, you're not just going to get it flat out wrong. That deal is coming. The details of which, as we find out what it'll be in terms of the escalators, how it could potentially get to $230 million, and all of that, maybe that'll play out.
That could still be, if this guy develops like we think he will, Andy, or like lives up to his full potential.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, he's legitimately in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
If it gets up to $230 million, it's still a bargain.
It could potentially be at $30 million a year. If you do that, 8 for $230 is just under 30. It could still be a bargain. The way salaries are going, the way they're paying Juan Soto, who, you know, we thought the big jump was, oh, you got to be able to pitch and hit to get crazy money. Nope, Juan Soto got crazy money. You're going to see Kyle Tucker get crazy money this offseason. Contracts are going in a stupid direction. And if Roman Anthony is what everybody thinks he is, and that's the one thing that's been unanimous from day one, Alex Cora, Breslau, everybody, like, their tone changes, their face changes. Yeah, we got a big three, but this one's special. Like, he has been put on a pedestal and then shown himself worthy of that pedestal with the way he's performed. As long as he's not doing what I do, and that's just randomly pulling a back muscle, doing absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I would like him to avoid that as a 21-year-old. Wait till you're in your mid-40s like me before you do that. But Roman Anthony has been seen as the key cog, the jump starter, the leadoff hitter, whatever you want to call it. But of late, you know who seems to be really important to this lineup? Even when he's not in the leadoff spot, in fact, he looks more comfortable batting lower in the order. One, Jarren Duran. And we asked Alex Cora about the importance of Jarren Duran in terms of making this team go.
Is there any one thing that you noticed that helped unlock Jarren Duran or that got him going on the hot streak that he's been on the last couple of weeks? Because we were told in the preseason, Bregman said, so story goes, so goes this offense. But I feel like because of how emotional and physical and how much effort he puts into it, so goes Duran, so goes the whole team.
Yeah, he had a tough road trip when we went to Seattle, San Fran, Anaheim. It wasn't great. Then he came home, had a conversation with the hitting coaches and with Alex, with Breggy. The message was like, swing less. You know, like you're chasing too many pitches. You're actually swinging the pitches you cannot handle. If you strike out looking with a fastball down and away, so be it. You know, like you're not gonna do damage with that pitch. Maybe you can follow it off, but hey, man, you're not doing a good job controlling the strike zone. He started doing that. He started walking when we came back. And when you start walking, you start dominating the strike zone. And with his swing, he's going to do damage. And right now, he's in a good spot. The ball he hit yesterday off the wall, that's another great sign. It feels like hitting him lower in the lineup, and he's still a big part of what we're trying to accomplish. He's in third, fourth. Kind of like relax him a little bit.
Yep.
He didn't have to set the tempo. I mean, when you're at home, third out, you go in, you're leading off. Okay, I got to go. You know, they follow my lead. Now it's the other way around. He lets the first two guys do their thing, and then just is a regular at bat. So I think that move helped him a little bit, and we'll lead him off here and there, but he's doing an outstanding job controlling the strike zone.
Since July 1st, guys, he has a 1.6 WAR. He's hitting .306, tied for sixth best in baseball in terms of wins above replacement. And if you use that same metric, the Red Sox have three of the top 16 hitters in baseball since the beginning of July, with Roman Anthony, Trevor Story, and then Duran.
That, with the pitching, is how you win 21 of 27 baseball games.
That's right. How about that, huh?
That's right. It's almost like when all your players play among the league's best, best team.
All those good hitters and like two of the three better outfielders as well, maybe the top starter in all baseball, top five closer. It's weird how when all those things align, those stars, Andy,
right,
you're more than functional. Oh, and you strike out less.
And it's also weird when you stop aligning other things like, I don't know, striking out 16 times, pitcher giving up six runs in the first inning, running into outs, making errors in the infield, making errors in the outfield. When you stop doing all of that, it's much easier to win baseball games.
Yeah.
It's the damnedest thing. Yeah. I do love Alex Cora's tone, though, and this is the second time he said this. I believe he's also told us this about Trevor Story and how he kind of dug out of his funk, this whole swing less approach. And he says it with, like, a little bit of tone, like, do less.
Right.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Do less over there. Swing a little bit less. And I know he's joked about he wished somebody had told him to swing a little less at some points in his major league career because of the quality of his swing. But there's some truth to that. Like, a lot of people think one of the assets of Roman Anthony and the greatness is not how sweet his swing is. It's how sweet he is at not swinging. And the knowledge of the strike zone and all of that, that is so important that I think we lose sometimes. I think me especially, you know, knowing that I'd rather crush a golf ball into the woods than hit one up the middle.
Says a lot.
But like, yep. I think there's a lot of people with a grip it and rip it type mentality. And Alex Cora's like, no, that's not really how you play.
I don't need a 500-foot foul ball.
Nope.
You know, some plate discipline goes a long way. Trust the process, as they like to
look
say.
Look at Ichiro. He just went to the Hall of Fame. Did he ever hit a ball hard?
Yes.
Did he ever hit a ball hard?
I'm being sarcastic, but he kind of slapped
not what
the
he
ball
was
around.
For. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, Cora told us in here a couple months back how they were stunned during spring training. Like, hey, how come you're not getting your rips in? And he just walked. He just walked. Roman Anthony, incredible plate discipline and an eye of the tiger. Like, if that's how he rolls, again, That contract could be a bargain.
And finally, here in the drive, we have a little scouting report from the manager, and I want you to listen closely to this answer about Dustin May, who will make his debut tonight for the Red Sox at Fenway Park. But listen closely to the answer and what you take from it in terms of Dustin May's future with the Red Sox. What should we expect from Dustin May tonight in his debut?
Just go out there and compete. We saw him that Sunday, and Alex got a hanging sweeper and hit it out of the ballpark, but he did a good job with us. Four-seamer played. The sinker is a good one. The slider is great. We'll talk about usage later on, but not try to do too much. You know, he's been around the last few days. He's enjoying the environment. He comes from a great organization that they've been very successful the last few years. So I don't think he's going to panic out there. So go out there and compete.
Dan Ball, what do you think he meant by we'll talk about his usage later on?
Seems like there may be a plan that involves the bullpen coming up at a certain point. And that makes me wonder, so what's the other move? Is that a Kyle Harrison move? I'm hoping it's not Richard Fitz. All due respect, I'm kind of good on him for now. But
Hooper.
I think it's Kyle Harrison. I think it's Kyle Harrison.
I hope you're right.
I mean, you've seen what Criswell can be.
Yeah.
We kind of know what Richard Fitz is.
Yep.
But what about the potential of Kyle Harrison? Don't you need to, you know, blank around and find out?
Right now, I'm not sure that's the approach I would
take. I didn't mean multiple times. Just
I think
one
I
time.
Would say steady as she goes would be more of an approach. Steady I don't want to blank around goes. And find out with the team the way they're playing.
Right.
But I do, and I don't want to put too much pressure on May tonight. But the one thing that could sort of derail the positive momentum of what
but
is going on.
But don't blank everything up, kid.
Yeah. And not only because we don't know what you are or who you are, but it's what you represent. It's what they didn't do. It's what they didn't bolster.
Joe Ryan.
Yes.
You're supposed to be Joe
Ryan. You're supposed to be Joe Ryan,
yeah.
And you're not. You're actually the guy they scrambled to get when they said, oh, crap, we need a fifth starter. We're just going to go get whoever the hell we can get. And we might overpay for this guy, and we're going to put him out there. And he might even end up in the bullpen in middle relief. Who knows what happens elsewhere. So, May, just go out there and don't suck a lot. What did Lou used to
just
say?
Just suck a little.
Just suck a little. Just that's my barometer tonight for Dustin May. Just suck a little. Be competitive.
What's a good night?
A good night
for him.
Five innings, three runs.
Dustin May, you did your job. You walk off that mound. You swagger like Vince McMahon, head held high. You may not get out there again, but who cares? You did your job.
It's almost a quality start, and the Red Sox are only down 3-1 because Michael Wacha will probably pitch very well again.
That's true.
just don't look terrible. Don't have a 6-run first inning with 3 home runs. Don't force our guy Will Fleming to have that early game tone as another ball.
There's another homer.
Right. Don't
swing and a pop up. Yeah.
Just be kind of competitive. It can be.
Oh, my.
You can kind of be walking the tightrope. Oh, you got guys on first and second, 2 of the first 4 innings or something. But don't let the wheels fall off the momentum.
Because 2 months ago, 5 innings and 3 runs, you're going, well, we're still probably scrambling.
Yeah.
You're going to need to get a run off of their relievers late in the game, as the Red Sox were wont to do. If you do that, this offense is clicking at a level where that's enough to win.
Correct.
That's enough to win a 5-6-3 kind of ball game that we've seen a lot recently.
617-779-7937. What is your confidence level in Dustin May and the Red Sox to keep this train a-rolling here at Fenway Park tonight? We'll take your calls next here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll also get to the Roman Anthony contract and how it aligns with everyone else for the fact that the core of this baseball team with the Red Sox, it's under contract for the foreseeable future. We could be at the ground level of what this group can do. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball for the final time. Give me what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Red Sox outfielder Roman Anthony and the ball club have finalized an 8-year, $130 million contract extension. The deal includes a club option and will keep Anthony under team control through 2034. From ESPN's Jeff Passan, Anthony's deal with the Red Sox will start in 2026 and includes significant escalators that could take the maximum value of the deal up to $230 million. Depending on where he finishes in AL Rookie of the Year voting, it could buy out 3 or 4 years of his free agency. Meanwhile, the Red Sox won their 7th straight game last night. They beat the Kansas City Royals 6-2. The Sox go for the sweep tonight. First pitch at 7:10. Dustin May will make his Red Sox debut. Here's the lineup. Roman Anthony off of his contract extension. He leads off in left. Then it's Alex Bregman at third. Trevor Story at short. Jaron Duran in center with Romy Gonzalez at first. Willie Abreu in right. Masataka Yoshida is your DH. Seidon Rafaela at second. And Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI-FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arkan begins at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. Day 12 of Patriots training camp was a joint practice with the Washington Commanders. The Pats take on the Commanders in their preseason opener on Friday night with kickoff set for 7:30 at Gillette. And from yesterday, the Celtics traded newly acquired Georges Niang and two future second-round picks to the Jazz for rookie R.J. Lewis Jr. In a related move, the Celtics have agreed to a one-year, $3.3 million deal with free agent forward Chris Boucher. When we say we want to lose weight, we mean fat, not muscle. New studies show up to 40% of the weight lost on the new meds is muscle, not fat. Keep your muscle, lose the fat with Awaken 180. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons Live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park. Yes, I'm back too, Mr. Singer Man.
Mr. Singer Man. Wow. Did you go to Juilliard?
I've never heard this song before in my life. This is a Stiz rejoin.
It's a good song, Andy.
What? No, this is a legitimate Stiz rejoin.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I know Spare Change when I hear it.
Yep. You didn't know that was your
We're finally voice? Getting the radio cuts of Stiz Grimy? What changed?
Wow.
Who died?
I liked it.
Did we lose our ASCAP and BMI licensing agreement?
I am Team Grimy, as my t-shirt at home says.
That's right.
We're here at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's start with a little Tim in Hanover who wants to talk Drake May. What's up, Tim? I regret this already.
Gentlemen, I love the show as always.
Thank you.
I just want to say the Dodgers just got two of their good pitchers back, and they let him go. Since we didn't make the move getting the arms that we all wanted, this kid can pitch. I think we got a good steal at this time. He's not the quality guy, but he can pitch. He can play. So let's see what happens. But I think he's going to do good for this team, because if these bats are hitting, he's going to be okay. Watch.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tim. I'm not being negative. I don't think he's terrible. Yeah, I will tell you.
Snell and Glasnow came back, so he was deemed
terrible. I can understand why they might not want him or need him at this point. But my point was, the manager didn't seem all in that this is a starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox for the next 2 months.
He's gonna pitch to what he becomes. That's exactly what's going to happen. If he gets out there tonight.
What does that mean?
If he's lights out tonight, then he's going to stay in the rotation.
And he'll get sent down like Criswell.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You're upsetting the children, Andy.
I am not.
I think he has options left. I think he could go pitch for the Woo Sox.
Dustin May, what's he? But he's like 7-8 years into his career. Like, guy's like 30.
Yeah, no, I don't actually think he's getting
sent down.
He could go to the bullpen, where it feels like the bullpen is going to be an evolving situation for a while here.
Yeah.
You work backwards and you're like confidence level or whatever. Like, you got Chapman.
Got him.
You got Whitlock.
You got him. And then...
You got Hicks.
Yeah, lower.
Weissert,
Wilson.
My guy.
You can have Weissert.
I like Weissert.
Yeah.
I'll take my guy Whitlock over your guy Weissert any day.
Oh, I think most people would. We were kind of working backwards.
I'll take the unsung hero, Justin Wilson. He's been outstanding.
What about the fact, I think I heard his name brought up twice today in our Cora interview.
Mm-hmm.
Layton.
Oh, yeah, he's part of this.
Pitched in uniform on the mound yesterday.
He's excited. He's got that 12-6 going.
You know who you don't hear brought up a lot?
No.
Who's that?
Matt's all, folks. He's just kind of...
He brought up... He called him... Fine. I think he even called him Matsy.
I think he did, but he also made up Skippy for Nick Pavetta. So I don't know what.
Make it up.
Maybe he's just doing the hockey thing and making up nicknames by adding E at the end.
What's he going to call him? He could call him Nicky or Pavetti?
He didn't have to call him anything. We weren't talking about the Padres. I don't even know how he came up. And well, Michael, just to reference.
It's because we talk. It's like he's going from two successive starters that he used to manage.
Waka, Michael. He called him Michael. Didn't have a
Waka
nickname for him, right?
Yeah,
Mikey. That.
So the Skippy one just came out of nowhere. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to, let's go to Pauly in Dedham. Had a comment on the Patriots. What's up, Pauly?
Pauly.
Hey, guys. I get a couple of things to say. Well, first on the Red Sox, then on the Pats. Teddy, I have to tell you, we had a little debate on the Alex Bregman situation, approaching the deadline. Yep. And I did not realize, you know, the leadership qualities that he was bringing to the team, that he was the leader, become the leader of the team. I did not realize that behind the scenes he was straightening out a lot of guys while he was injured with their hitting. You need that leadership or else you have a rudderless ship. So, but in terms of extending him, I'm glad they held on to him for this particular team. But in terms of extending him, I would do it with caution. I would not break the bank for him. He's already missed 45 games this year, and he missed quite a few last year with Houston. He's getting a little older and he's starting to get banged up. That's the issue. Other than that, but I'm glad that they didn't trade him this year and they held on to him because he is the rudder of that ship.
Sure, bro.
Will Campbell is going to be a guard. Just looking at him in practice, the size of him, and I'm understanding he's had some problems here and there in one-on-ones, and he has had some problems in college here and there. Nobody's perfect. With blocking, guys getting faster, we probably should have been eaten up, but I think he's going to be a solid guy in the NFL. What they think they're going to do is kick that left side right inside one click to the right when they're going to get a left tackle at some point down the line, maybe next year.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
I don't know. Like,
everybody's throwing pens at me, and I don't know why here in the studio. But
I think you don't get
2.5 minutes.
I mean, we talked about it the other day. I do think there's a possibility that the entire left side of your offensive line bumps one to the right, and you know, I had heard somebody tell me that. They do these off-season draft meetings, and like tackle started to float up as a topic after practices started this summer. So whether that's Morgan Moses' reaction, Will Campbell, both, and be like, yeah, we need some more tackles in
right.
this mix here.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I've always said, I know we've fixated on this, but guess what?
A lot.
If Will Campbell is a Pro Bowl All-Pro guard, who cares?
I agree.
Are we going to like dice like, well, you could have gotten better value that like if you have a good offensive line and Will Campbell's part of it. OK,
it all depends on who's tackle. I mean, if you got Simmons and KC, who's supposedly having a banger of a camp.
Who knows?
You just saw Josh Connerly from Oregon. He's there with Washington as well. Now that's a stacked offensive line. There were other options available out there. I know there are a series of tangibles and intangibles that Mike Vrabel and Stretch and company fell in love with.
He knocked him on his ass, really.
It's a risky pick because he's a football guy.
Yeah.
He drafted the football guy.
I'm just not giving up on Will Campbell, and I'm not giving up on him even if he moves to guard. Maybe he can just be a dominant guard.
Just be a useful player for me. Like
More than useful.
Okay.
Useful's not enough.
Be elite somewhere?
Yes. I need you to be among, when these stupid top 10 lists come out in the off seasons, I need to see Will Campbell's name there by year three.
Okay.
And I don't care where it is. Center, guard, tackle. Don't care. You need to be a top 10 player at whatever position you're at. If you're not a top 10 player, then you're a bust because you were the fourth pick in the draft. Now, ideally, that would be at tackle, top 10 tackle.
Does it make you a bust if you end up being a guard? Just with the definition of the word draft bust.
Yeah, he's not a top 10 at his position.
Oh, no, that's fine with me. If he's a top 10 guard, I'll be fine with you. It's not ideal.
Right.
And then what would get into the grayness for me is he the eighth best guard? How does that compare to the 14th best tackle?
Right.
If he becomes Matt Light. Because Matt Light was a middling left tackle. I think he made one Pro Bowl. So, like, you're a good tackle.
He was a good. I wouldn't say middling.
Say middling. I don't think he was ever truly elite.
I didn't say elite. I said good.
Okay. So, to me,
top 10 his position at any point?
Probably. Oh, yeah, yeah.
A hanger-on?
At some point.
Okay.
But never in, like, the top five.
Some of his best football at the end of his career.
Never, like, at that real high end.
Yeah.
if Will Campbell is just that, if he's just that, like, somewhere between 9th and 13th best tackle,
right?
Is that enough? Or is that better than being a top 10 guard? That's the, not sure how I weigh that. And that's where I go to where Fitzy is. What do you have around him? Do you have another actual elite tackle? Do you have earmuffs, do you have a terrible year this year? Get another top five pick and get some other tackle that's really, truly elite and bump him inside?
Are you sure you didn't hurt your back moving those goalposts?
No, I just, you have to look at things relative to all the information.
I got you. I want, if
some people are going to say if he goes to guard, he's a bust.
No, I won't say a bust. It'll just be disappointing because you need a left tackle.
He plays like Logan Mankins and Joe Tooney. I won't be disappointed.
And then if somebody comes around the blind side because you haven't been able to find a proper left tackle since 2018, Trent Brown.
Yeah, and
then
that's not his job anymore.
That's what you drafted him for.
I think you need good football players. And if he's a good football player, it will be good for the team. 617-779-7937, taking your phone calls. Running up to the end here. Odds and ends on WEEI Afternoons. Another one in the books at Fenway Park.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park. Time now for Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. And the man of the day, the man of the hour here at Fenway Park has apparently been talking to the media, Roman Anthony.
The Empire.
Who I think has agreed to a 8-year, $130 million contract. Alex Cora didn't really want to add anything to the reports that were out there. So, Stiz, I know it was just happening fast. Not sure exactly what you got, but play me some Roman Anthony audio fresh off his contract.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, back in the spring, I hadn't had any experience playing here yet. Didn't really know what to expect yet. And so for me, it was just more of wanting to be here and getting a feel for the everyday lifestyle here. But at the same time, knowing that, again, I came up through this org and always wanted to be here and always knew how great this city was and how passionate the city was. And then, you know, when I got to experience it and like Brez mentioned, you know, only being 150 at-bats in, you know, I can tell this is where I want to be and there's no doubt.
Stiz, can you pause this real quick? That's eye-opening right there. 150 at-bats in. So he got $1 million per at-bat?
Yep,
basically. Pretty much. $130 million contract with escalators to 230.
That's all they needed.
And I know Christian Campbell, you know, got his before the year, but it was a smaller contract, $64 million.
And that's because he, you know, took it so he could make the roster. Like, absolutely. There's a bunch of strange scenarios that came around from that one.
All right, roll it, Stiz.
There are a number of escalators in this deal that will enhance the value based on how well you perform. How much of that was you being driven to kind of bet on yourself and your future performance?
Yeah, you know, for me as a player and as a competitor, I believe in myself every single day. And you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I believe that, you know, I will be the best version of myself every single day. So, for me, like I said, it was a deal that was obviously more than enough for me and for my family and in a place that I want to be. And those escalators just give me a chance to continue to grind every day and help this team win and be the best version of myself that I can be each and every day.
There are quite a few of you guys under contract through 2030 and beyond. When you think about that core, what do you envision the group accomplishing in your time together?
Yeah, it's a special group. You know, I try not to look too far into the future, but and we're having a lot of fun playing good baseball right now. So just trying to stay present as best as possible. But it's super exciting when you talk about how young we are and the mix that we have of the great veteran guys that we have. So there's a lot to be excited about, and I'm excited. And knowing that in this process was a big reason as to why, you know, I wanted to stay here and be with those guys and grow with those guys. So it's super exciting.
Become such a key piece of this team so quickly. It's only been not even 2 months. Have you been surprised with how seamlessly that this has kind of taken off for you in the early part of your career?
No, I mean, it's hard to say I was surprised. Like I said, I believe in myself in every way, but I think I got to give credit to the staff that we have here, the people we have here, my teammates. they made this process so much easier, and they make my life a whole lot easier coming to the field every day and you know, hanging out with these guys and just having fun and looking forward to coming to the field every day. It makes my life a whole lot easier, and it makes, you know, taking the field a whole lot easier when I'm taking it with guys who I just consider my best friends.
Roman, they invested in you, but you also invested in them. Based on your time in the organization, what made you feel like that was the right move for you?
Yeah, I think just going back to when I was an 18-year-old kid who was freshly drafted and going through that process in high school, you know, meeting so many great individuals who still have a, you know, great impact on my life today, and so many of my teammates and guys that I came up with. You know, I think coming up through this org obviously was a big decision in, as to why I wanted to stay here and continue to see these similar faces for the next, you know, 9 years. And I think, you know, that was such a big part of the reason as to why, you know, I wanted to just continue to do this and continue to show up and be with the same people every day is coming up through the minors and coming up through such a great org and being in such an amazing city. I couldn't think of anywhere else I'd want to be.
That's nowhere else. Face of the franchise right there, Andrew.
Face, voice, even keeled nature of the franchise. He's definitely got a little bit of, like, flatline in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean that in a bad way.
Him and Crochet both have it, which is why they're respectively perfect for what they're doing, they're doing.
He does not sound 21. He's a very composed, mature young man.
Also, it doesn't sound like he's 21 and just signed a $130 million contract that could go up another
$100
million.
See, nothing gets to him. Like, the kid is unflappable.
I have one theory that could get to him at some point, but we're not going down that road.
Hey,
we hate to see that off
air.
You
said that guy wasn't going to be here.
Real quick. He gets...
They weaken knees.
He gets $1 million if he finishes first or second place in Rookie of the Year, $2 million for any MVP win, $1 million for a second or third place finish, $750,000 fourth and fifth, $500,000 for sixth through tenth, and then $200,000 for every all-star that he gets. So that is the full laundry list of escalators that he gets tacked on as he moves through the deal.
He'll make some money there then.
Yeah.
Big time. He's going to split the difference. I think he's probably going to come in about $180,000.
Yeah, he's going to make good money. Or they renegotiate at some point and say, we actually want you here for the totality of your career. We want you to not play for anyone else other than the Boston Red Sox. Along those lines, we touched on this earlier. The core of this baseball team that is now chugging along towards the postseason, potentially the best record in the American League within sight, they are staying together for a long time. Christian Campbell through 2034, whether you want him or not. Roman Anthony through 2034. Rafaela through 2032, Steel. Crochet through 2031, Bayo through 2030, Whitlock through 2028, Story through 2028, Hicks through 2027, Yoshida through 2027. You also have Bregman 2 more years, depending on how the opt-out slash negotiation on a longer-term extension. The core of your baseball team is nicely held together and nicely compensated, a lot of them, some nice contracts there. I actually said to you, Dan Ball, the one guy who could be the quickest or one of the earliest is Alex Cora. He's only got 2 years after this.
I know. He may want to stick around.
A 3-year deal. May want to stick around. May want to bump up stairs as Dan Ball has suggested.
That was the biggest takeaway, though. The fact that he was just aware, present, and also aware of how young the team is and wanting to be a part of. We've called it the youth movement. Some could call it the uprising. But it's really just this next generation of Sox talent that we heard so much about for so many years. We almost got nauseated by it. Now we are watching those fruits come to bear, and it's great. They're going to be here for a while. Our kids and their kids and younger generations are going to get excited about rooting for this team for a while to come. I love it.
I know someone who's excited and can't possibly hate this contract. Christian Arkin, how are you tonight? Christian Arkin?
I'm doing great. How about you guys? I don't know. I hate
it. Hello there. Sorry, I was just changing the channel over to the press conference to see the end of it. Did you guys see this tweet from Cotillo? It's very funny. It just made me laugh out loud.
No, what do you got?
It said that Roman Anthony's deal maxes out at $230 million. If he wins MVP every year from now through 2033, is an all-star in each year, and finishes first or second in Rookie of the Year voting this year. So he just has to win MVP every year for a decade straight, and he can max out this contract. That seems reasonable.
He's the Roman Empire. He's the natural. He's the next big thing. Don't be so cynical. Come on now. You got to love this contract, right?
I do. It. Now, listen, for the Red Sox, it's a very good contract. I don't know if Roman Anthony's going to love it in a few years. He may start talking about restructuring or tearing up the last couple years and signing a new one. We'll see. Right now, he's got to be feeling great.
Yeah, he's living a pretty good life, especially if his back is feeling better. Back in the lineup, ready to help the team enjoy his new contract. Stick around for the Christian Arcan show. It'll be a quick one, and then it'll lead to the Mass Mutual pregame show. Red Sox and Royals here at Fenway Park. The debut of Dustin May. Don't screw it up, Dustin, because we'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6, to talk about it one way or the other. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park.
I like Jordan's Furniture, and I love Fuddruckers.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
And maybe I'm an idiot.